Well, let's look to the Word of God. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're teaching on the Holy Spirit and His gifts. You know, we taught in an early session today, we shared about how the Holy Spirit is our helper. The Lord Jesus said over in John's Gospel, the 14th chapter and verse 15, for those who love me, who really love me, He said, obey my commands. Do my works. In other words, if I really love the Lord, I will seek to obey Him in my life. I'll seek to live for Him in my life. My life is no longer mine, but it is His, and I'll do His word. And help me to do His word and to obey His commandments and to live my life in a way that's pleasing unto Him. He said that He would send another helper, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would come and be with me and in me, and the Holy Spirit would be my guide. He would be my teacher. In fact, we saw in John 14, 26, the Amplified says that He was... That the Lord would send would pray the Father, and He would send us another helper. And of course, He talks about all seven names: Comforter, Counselor, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, Helper, and right on down the line. And He says He'll send Him in my name, and He'll come in my place to represent me. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost is here representing the Lord Jesus Christ? And we brought out how if, you know, the Lord was here Himself, the Holy Spirit is doing the same thing. In other words, if we had Jesus standing right here beside me, He would be telling me what to do and help me do it. That's what the Holy Spirit's here for, to take the place of the Lord and stand right there with me in every situation and do for me what Jesus would do if He was here Himself personally. Amen? Praise God. But then we also saw that on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when Peter was preaching in verse 37, when he got done, all the multitude that heard the gospel said, what shall we do? In other words, you know, how can we get a hold of this? How can we get into this good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins? He was buried and then was raised again for our justification, as ascended up on high, now has sent this the Holy Spirit, which we now see and hear. How do we get in on this? And Peter, of course, replied in verse 38, said, repent, change your views, change your purpose, change the way you live, turn to God, repent of your sins and receive remission of sins, get baptized. In other words, get born again. Amen. And we find out that he's talking there about two experiences that we have with the Spirit of God, because we know that we're born of the Spirit. Amen. You can't get born again without the Spirit of God. So whenever you're born again, the Holy Spirit takes you out of the kingdom of darkness and brings you into the kingdom of God, and He changes your heart and He comes into you. Amen. How many of you know that when you got born again, you had the witness of the Spirit in your spirit? Sure you did. Romans 8 says that we have the Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit that we're children or sons of God. So when I got born of the Spirit, I knew that something had taken place on the inside of me. Amen. The Holy Ghost made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 says we're all baptized into one body by the same Spirit. The Holy Ghost brings me into a relationship with Jesus Christ. But the Apostle Peter there in Acts 2, 38 and 39 went on and shared a second experience. He said basically once you're born of the Spirit, then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost that the Lord has promised. And this gift is not only to you, but it's to your children and to your friends afar off and the friends nearby and everybody the Lord God calls or invites to come into His kingdom. Amen? Well, since it's available to everybody to get born again, that means that these two experiences should be something that takes place in every person's life who wants to walk with God. Amen? Now, why do we need the Holy Ghost? Acts 1:8 says, and you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why do I need all of that power and might and ability? To be a witness for Jesus. Because if I'm going to live for Jesus, my second part is to share Him with others so they can live with Jesus and for Him. Amen? The body of Christ needs to understand something. You were not born again to go to heaven. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, go out and get people saved so they can go to heaven. But the Bible does teach us, go in all the world and make disciples of all nations. Make followers of Jesus. Make those who are students and learners of the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. And teach them the ways of Jesus Christ. Why? So that they can teach others of Jesus Christ. What did the Lord say even when He was on the earth? Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Amen. So why do we get born again? We got born again because we recognize there are two kingdoms in operation on the earth. There's the kingdom of darkness, and that's what we were in, and we don't want to be in that any longer. And there's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, and the kingdom of righteousness, and we want to come into that kingdom. The only way we can get into it is through the Lord Jesus Christ, and the only way you can get into the Lord Jesus Christ is by the Holy Spirit doing a work in my heart, taking the old heart out, putting the new heart in, and writing the laws of God and the nature of God into my spirit. Amen. But then, praise God, once I'm in the kingdom of God, I have an assignment from the Lord. And that assignment is now I am to be a part of His ministry. I'm to be a part of His calling and of His purpose. And what is His purpose? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Go ye therefore in all the world and preach the gospel to every individual. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the church, we've got to get back in love with the Great Commission. Amen. Amen. To get in love with the Great Commission, though, we've got to be in love with Jesus. Because we share out to the world what is real in us. Amen. Remember reading over there, I'll get 1 Corinthians 12. I've just given all the slow pokes plenty of time to get there. Hallelujah. I hadn't forgot what I was doing. I'm getting there. Hallelujah. Stay with me. But remember over in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John are going to prayer and they see a lame man there at the steps going into the temple begging for alms. And Peter looked upon him and he said, look on us. In other words, look at me and John. Look at us. Give me your attention. And it says the beggar looked up at him and expecting to receive something. In other words, he thinks, oh yeah, I'm going to get something good from these guys. They're going to give me some money. And Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none. In other words, I don't have the money and natural things that you think you need. But such as I have, give I thee. In other words, I've got something to give you. It's not money and it's not gold, but I've got something I can give you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, rise and be healed. And he took him by the hand and raised him up. But the point I'm trying to get across here is this. Peter said, such as I have, I give to you. You can't give to others what you don't have. Amen? You can tell them about it, but you can't give it to them. Amen? I have to have it before I can give it, praise God. For instance, I can tell you about $1,000, and I can describe $1,000, but if I don't have $1,000 in my pocket, I can't give you $1,000. Amen? But if I've got it, I can give it. And so therefore, what the Lord is saying, you need to be in love with me. You need to want to be a doer of my word. You want to be an obeyer of my commands. And to help you to love me and to live for me, I'm going to send you another helper, the Holy Spirit, and he's going to take my place and he's going to assist you. He's going to teach you. He's going to guide you. He's going to bring things to your remembrance. In fact, he's going to be the greater one living on the inside of you. He's going to help you in every situation you find. And he said, not only am I going to give you this great experience with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to have the Holy Spirit come upon you. And when he comes upon you, he's going to anoint you and empower you to not only live for me yourself, but take what I've given to you and share it with others also. And we as the church, we need to be born of the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be empowered of the Spirit. We need to live and walk in the Spirit. And then we also need to share the things of the Spirit of God with a hurting, dying world. Amen? And when there's a great move of God on, one of the things I found is this. More people in the charismatic renewal got born again than they did get filled with the Holy Ghost. See, I was in on the tail end of that, but you know, the last part of the great charismatic renewal back in the late 70s and early 80s when it was in high gear operating. And I want to tell you what, you would see just everyday lay people, what we would call them, not preachers, but I'm going to tell you what, I would see people in the parking lots, women, you know, going to the grocery store, winning people to Jesus, stand there praying with them out in the park. I mean, it was just a passion for people to want to pray and share Jesus with folks. And I can remember when the Spirit of God was moving, the power of God was in operation, and people were just operating in the anointing of God. If you walked in and said, my shoulder's hurting, I'm going to tell you what, 15 people had hands laid on you praying for you before you could get your arms up. because everybody was wanting to be used of God to see God move in a great and mighty way. Amen? Hallelujah. And the Lord is wanting to rebirth that back into the church. He wants us to be so passionate, so anointed, so on fire, so full of the Spirit of God that we are desiring to see Him change people's lives all around us. Amen? And Paul writing here in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Notice the word gifts is italicized. That means it's just added at the translator's discretion. It actually says here in the original Greek, "Now concerning spirituals, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Or the Greek actually says, "Now concerning the things of the Spirit, I do not want you to be ignorant." See, God wants us to be knowledgeable of the things in the spiritual realm. Amen? He wants us to have a knowledge of how the things of the Spirit of God operate. In other words, He's telling us, I don't want you to be born of the Spirit and not know how to operate with the Spirit. And listen, if the Holy Spirit working through the Apostle Paul didn't want the Corinthian church to have a lack of knowledge or ignorance of spiritual things, God doesn't want us to have a lack of knowledge of spiritual things. The reason most folks are not operating in these things is we don't have a knowledge of it. Amen. And Hosea 4:6 in the Old Testament says this, "My people," not the world, but God speaking to His people says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." The word destroyed there means cut off. And then he goes on, he says in Hosea 4:6, "And because you have rejected knowledge, you cannot be priest unto me." You know what he's saying? Any part of God that you reject, you can't operate in your life. Amen? You can't be a priest over that. You can't make it work in your life. That's why people have to come. And as you read through the scriptures, you read in Acts chapter 2, they were there in obedience to the word of the Lord to tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. In Acts chapter 8, they came down and prayed for the Spirit of God to fall upon them and them to receive the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 10, they heard, and all that heard the word that Peter preached, the Holy Ghost fell on them and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. In other words, everywhere people hear the word and receive the word, God moves. Amen. So Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, and he's saying, listen, if you want God to move in an orderly way that brings glory to Him and changes lives, you need to get knowledgeable of how to operate in the things of the Spirit of God. Amen? Well, one of the ways we're going to get knowledgeable of the things operating in the Spirit of God is found in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Well, what does Paul say over here? I'll read it to you real quick, praise God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." Notice this, he's talking to them. I'm begging of you. I'm talking to you, brethren. This is your job. "By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Notice it's my spiritual service. It's my responsibility to bring my flesh under. It's my responsibility to present my body to God. Amen. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul said, "When I preached to others," he said, "I buffet my body and I bring it under lest I disqualify myself from running the race." So we all have to deal with our flesh, don't we? Amen. And if you're running around here saying, "Oh God, take this off of my flesh," you just might as well go, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star." Amen. Or sing Yankee Doodle or something. I mean, because it'll do you as much good. You might have more fun singing Yankee Doodle than praying for God to take your flesh off, because it's your responsibility to deal with your flesh. Amen? So he says, number one, if you're going to walk in spiritual things, you cannot walk in the flesh all the time. You can't live carnal. You can't let your body determine how you're going to live. Amen? Then the second thing is found in verse 2. "And do not be conformed to this world," that's outward conformity through thought, action, attitudes, "but be it transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Notice what he says here. He says, you as born again believers will still think like, act like, talk like, and walk like the world until you get serious and present yourself to God and make your body do what it's supposed to do. Amen. I don't feel like lifting my hands and praising God. Then make it. Well, I don't feel like shouting hallelujah. Force it. Well, I feel like a hypocrite. Why you live in my feelings, feelings of the flesh? Amen. You're supposed to make your body do what it's supposed to do, not let your body determine what it's supposed to do. Amen. And so God says, if I'm going to learn how to operate in spiritual things, I'm going to have to take charge of my flesh and quit letting my flesh determine what I do. How I feel, how I praise, how I treat people, how I walk, where I go. And then the second thing is this, I'm going to have to get my mind renewed to what God says about it. Amen. You will never get filled with the Holy Ghost until you get your mind renewed to the truth that God wants you filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll never speak in a heavenly language in an unknown tongue, as the Spirit of God says, until you get your mind renewed and bring your flesh under and submit yourself to God. It won't happen. It won't happen. Listen, I knew that the baptism in the Holy Spirit was a reality. And I was born of the Spirit, and I knew that God had something more for me, and I knew there was a power to be gained, but I had no idea on how to get it. Amen. And then I went along and I thought, well, if I get filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what's going to happen? He's just going to come on me and he'll take over and he'll speak in tongues. And I went around for about almost a year and a half trying to get filled with the Holy Spirit because I didn't know how to bring my body into submission to God, and my mind wasn't renewed on how to receive from God. So therefore, I couldn't operate in that realm of the spiritual things that God wants me to not be ignorant of. I was ignorant of it, therefore I couldn't do it. Amen? So then, praise God, I got a hold of some revelation knowledge and some truth and through Brother Hagin, and I got to reading. I found out about it. And you know what? I found out that the Holy Ghost is my helper and that I have to cooperate with Him, and He helps me. And He helps me to speak in tongues. He helps me to walk in the power. He helps me to be a witness. It's not the Holy Spirit who has the Great Commission. It's me who has the Great Commission. It's not the Holy Spirit who has a body that has to be presented to God. It's me who has a body that has to be presented to God. It's not the Holy Spirit who has a mind that needs to be renewed. It's my mind that needs to be renewed. It's not the Holy Ghost that needs to have knowledge of the spiritual things. It's me who has to have knowledge of the spiritual things. And when I get that knowledge and I get that truth and I surrender to it, guess what? Now I can move over in and do it. Praise God. And so I began to get the revelation. I found out that the Holy Spirit gives me the utterance and I do the talking. Praise God. And me and the Holy Ghost have been talking ever since. Hallelujah. And we worship God. And so you have to get a hold of these things. Because if you don't get a hold of these things and begin to do these things, they won't happen in your life. Amen. It's just not going to fall on you. You have to do some things to get this stuff to work for you. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look over here real quickly. Look in verse 1. Look what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but to carnal as to babes in Christ." Notice that. Paul said, I wanted to speak to you on a spiritual level, but I couldn't do it because you're still carnal, worldly thinking, and you're still babies in Christ. Amen? In other words, you haven't developed yourself. Now, this is a Spirit-filled church, the Church of Corinth is Spirit-filled. In fact, they have an abundance of speaking in tongues, and there are things operating in that church, but there's still carnality and worldliness in the people's lives. So Paul's writing this letter to correct them and teach them and bring them into a place where they can operate in the things of the Spirit of God. And so look what he says. He says, "I fed you with milk and not with meat or solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're not still able to receive it, for you are still carnal. For whereas there is among you envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Notice that. In other words, he's saying, you haven't gotten a hold of your flesh yet. You haven't got your mind renewed yet. And even though you're spirit-filled, you haven't been transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I've got to write to you and start getting the word into you so you quit acting this way and being envious when God uses somebody, and get in strife when He doesn't use you, and get in division and develop little groups in the church. Amen. And you'll start rejoicing when God uses somebody else and be encouraged, because you know if God can use somebody else, He can use you. And if God blesses somebody else, He'll bless you, because He's no respecter of persons. So He said, "I got to get you where you're not just running around here carrying your Bible, but you're living your Bible." Hallelujah. And he says, the way you do that is you begin to feed the Word and you begin to change your thinking and you begin get a hold of this. And you say, Pastor, why are you taking this time in this beginning of this to share this? Because the move of God at one time was powerful. And we had gifts of the Spirit and manifestation. But if you'll notice over the last several years, there's been very little manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Just every now and then, something would happen. And most Christians today have little or no knowledge of the moving of the things of the Spirit of God. And so if we don't find out that we got to renew our minds to this and find out how they operate in it, instead of being excited about it, we'll actually push back and be a little concerned or leery of it because it's different to us. Amen? And you see, the Holy Spirit is poured out not to push people away, but to draw people in. But if you don't do things decently and in order, it will bring confusion and hurt to the church instead of bringing people into the church. Amen? And God wants to move in His church, but He wants us to know what He's doing. And if we know what He's doing, we know how to cooperate with Him, and we know how to do things decently and in order, and when everything's done decently and in order, then God gets the glory, the Lord gets lifted up, and people's lives get changed. Amen? And people begin to experience a supernatural God, not just a religious, Bible, historical God. Amen? And so we have to learn these things, and we have to relearn these things and get them operating in our lives again. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12, and let's just lay a foundation now with the time we have on the move of the Spirit, the manifestations of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look what he says in verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Now, the Corinthian church had a little bit of crazy stuff going on that we don't have. Amen. There was a lot of idol worship going on, and they were led by those. They had their own gods, and they would do crazy things. So he's correcting something here, and he says in verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. See, they would have church services, and the gifts of the Spirit would be in operation, the utterance gifts, and they would maybe be prophesying, and somebody would come in and say, Jesus is not God, thus saith the Lord. Or they'd say something of, they would curse God and they were demon forces operating and the people got confused and didn't know what was going on. And so Paul's writing to them and he's saying, listen, when the Holy Spirit is in operation, the Holy Spirit will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's an utterance gift, it'll always uplift and lift up the name of Jesus and glorify Jesus. If it's a power gift, it'll always glorify Jesus. The Holy Ghost was sent, John 15:26, to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Huh? So therefore, he's saying this. He's saying when the Spirit of God is in operation, he will exalt and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and draw people to him. Amen? Somebody says, well, I was in a service one time and they said God wasn't doing anything. Well, then they were doing the wrong thing. You should have judged that as not of God. And if you know what the Spirit of God says and you have knowledge of spiritual things, then it shouldn't bother you. Amen. Somebody comes up to me and says, thus saith the Lord, God said you're going to die. I'm going to punch him right in the mouth. Amen. No, I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to rebuke him and say, you know what? That is not God, and you're off in the error, and you're trying to promote fear and worry and destruction, and that's not the Holy Ghost. Amen? Huh? Somebody says, well, wouldn't God do that? Well, God wouldn't do it to promote fear. If God was going to do it, he would come up and tell you what you needed to do and to stop you from dying. Amen? So the Holy Spirit moves, and when the Holy Spirit moves, he always brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't draw attention to man. Notice that he says right here that whenever he's speaking, he'll say, Jesus is Lord. In other words, the manifestations of the gifts should draw us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Manifesting him to the Lord. I was a few years ago, not too many, 3 or 4 years ago, I was in Mexico City with our missionaries that we work with there. And the pastor of the church there, he asked me, he said on Sunday morning, they had 2 services. And he said, Brother Huffman, when you come down, would you have a healing service on our Sunday morning services? And I was doing the week meeting with the school. And I said, sure, we'll do healing services. So we did the first service and I preached on healing, lay hands on folks. We had a great service. Power of God fell. People's lives were being moved. And we were sitting back in a little ready room and I was sitting there minding my own business. Hallelujah. Actually having a little cup of coffee, relaxing between services. And the Spirit of God spoke on the inside of me and said, let me have this one. I want to do a little different. And I thought, I said, well, I thought you had the last one. But I said, okay, yeah. So I looked at the pastor and I said, is it okay if we go a little different way this time? He says, yeah, just I trust you, whatever God's telling you. I said, okay, praise the Lord. So we went out and they started doing the praise and they had a great praise team. They, in fact, they did a lot of songs we did. Of course, they did in Spanish, but they, you know, they're praising God and God's moving. And God began to move through the pastor's wife and she began to pray and minister to the people. And then they came back up and then they invited me to come up with the associate pastor who was going to interpret for me. And so I stepped up and I said, we're just not ready yet. Could the praise team come back? Well, they jumped up and ran up. I said, could we do that one song? And so they jumped right back into it. And you know what happened? For the next hour, the Spirit of God began to move and these manifestations began to happen and I began to call things out and exhort and we laid hands on people and we ministered to people and Bonnie and the pastor's wife was ministering to the ladies and we were praying for the sick and it would slow down a bit and then God would exhort and something else would take place and it went on for over an hour. And I turned it back over to the pastor and he began to exhort the people. And minister, and I didn't know all I was saying. I can speak a little, catch a word here and there. Finally, I leaned over to the associate. I said, what's he doing? He says, he's giving an altar call, inviting people to come. You know, 33 people came to the Lord that morning. And we found out that 30 of them were first-time visitors, never been in a church service like that. And they took him back in the prayer room and prayed for them all, and they all got filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in a heavenly language before they left the building. Hallelujah. You see, when the Holy Ghost is in operation and things are done decently and in order, and you do it in a way that God gets the glory, people don't run from it, they run to it. Hallelujah. And that is what God is wanting to do in the hour we're living in. He wants us to bring the Spirit in and know that when the Holy Spirit is in operation, Jesus will be lifted up and people will be drawn to Him. Amen? Now let's continue to read. Notice he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries or administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities or operations, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Notice here that he says there are different gifts, different administrations or ministries, and different operations or activities. Meaning what? When you begin to look at it, first of all, there are different gifts. And the best way to explain the different gifts is this. There are 3 categories of 3 gifts. Amen. What do you mean? Well, there's revelation gifts, there's power gifts, and there's utterance gifts. Hallelujah. And there are 3 gifts in each one of those different categories. You have the 3 revelation gifts of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And then you have the 3 power gifts, the gifts of faith, the gift of working of miracles, and gifts of healings. And then you have the 3 utterance gifts of prophecy and tongues and interpretation of tongues. And the way you could say it is like this. The 3 revelation gifts reveal something. The 3 power gifts do something. And the 3 inspiration or utterances gifts, they say something. Hallelujah. Amen. And so these are 3 different groupings of giftings that the Holy Spirit uses to manifest to us. And notice that he said right down in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to all. In other words, all of these 9 gifts are different ways that the Holy Spirit manifests himself in the church. If it's a word of wisdom, it's the Holy Spirit bringing forth a word of direction to the church, of wisdom, of God's will. If it's a prophecy, it's the Holy Spirit giving utterance and bringing forth a prophetic word to the church. If it's a gifts of healings, it's the Holy Spirit working in that realm to bring a healing into the church. All of these are different manifestations of the Holy Spirit, but He's the same Holy Spirit bringing all these things in operation in the church. Amen? Now, there are different gifts, different administrations or ministries, and different operations or activities. Meaning what? You've got to understand something. Just because the Spirit of God operated one way doesn't mean He's going to do it the same way the next time. There are different operations, praise God. And I'll show that to you as we get on into these things. When these gifts are manifesting, just because it operated one way for you once doesn't mean it's ever going to do that again. Amen? Because you have to be led by the Spirit and let Him do it, because He's the one that's bringing forth these manifestations in our lives, praise God. So the Holy Spirit operates these things, and the Spirit of God moves in these things, and then He begins to list these things. And let's look back at verse 7 before we list them. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, let me share this with you. Every born-again, Spirit-filled believer has the potential and possibility of these 9 gifts operating in your life. Amen? God could operate these. The Holy Spirit could manifest these things in any born-again, Spirit-filled believer's life. Hallelujah. Now, here's the thing I'm going to really tie this into this week. These gifts and manifestations operated more outside of the church than they did in the church. Most of these were given to people that are out doing the will of God. And whenever you came up against something that you need a little extra help, the Holy Spirit stepped in and gave you one of these manifestations to help you to bring Jesus into that situation for those people. I'll be real honest with you. You get to operate in the word of knowledge, which is the God revealing to you something that is now or something that's happened, because you can only have knowledge of the present or the past. The word of wisdom is always something in the future. Why? Because if it hadn't happened yet and you know it's going to happen, that's wisdom. Amen? But I want to tell you what, as a parent, all you need to do is have the Holy Ghost give you a word of knowledge where your kids have been once or twice and they'll quit doing stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. Anna finally said, I'm tired of, she said, I pray every time I go, Holy Ghost, would you quit telling Daddy everywhere I'm going? Amen. God will equip parents. He'll equip people. Hallelujah. He'll show you things that you need to do in your life. He's your helper. Amen. And these are manifestations of the Holy Spirit to help us to live the Christ life and the Jesus life so that we can do the works of Jesus. Amen. Now, let's read on. Let's go on and look at them. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Now, to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Notice it's the same Holy Ghost giving these out. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, the different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of those tongues. Now listen to what he says in verse 11. But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one initially or individually as He wills. Notice that? The Holy Spirit is the one who brings these out. In other words, he's saying this. You can't make these things happen. You can't turn them on and turn them off. The Holy Spirit determines when they're going to happen, how they're going to happen, and where they're going to happen. Amen. Somebody says, well, if that's the case, then how would I ever know? That's why you have to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Amen. That's why you have to learn how to be led by the Spirit. That's why you need to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And I want to tell you something, folks. There are times that the Spirit of God's told me things when I was out to protect me, praise God. Amen. I've been going along before. I was driving along one time. You know, if the Lord's going to show you something in the future, the Holy Spirit will show you. Sometimes it's just a word, praise God. And I can remember I was driving one time coming up from Virginia back home. And Bonnie and I were driving along and a little, you know, 4 lanes, but it was not an interstate. And so we were coming along, and we went around the curve and up around, and the Holy Ghost said, slow down, let that guy go by you. So I slowed down, some guy went by me. We went up, and the road was messed up, and when we hit a thing, it threw his car right over into about halfway into my lane, and if I'd have been driving along beside him, it would have thrown him right into me and plowed me into the hill. Well, there's no way I could have known that. Amen. I couldn't see it in front of me. But you know what? The Spirit of God warned me, and the Holy Spirit used something to help me with. Praise God. Amen. You know that the Lord has given me words at times of different things. Things get lost in the house. Anybody lose anything? Anybody ever lost anything? Huh? Have you ever had a granddaughter come to your house and get in your wife's jewelry and take something and hide it? And begin to pray, and the Holy Ghost say, it's under this over here by that leg. Hallelujah. Under that piece of furniture there. And you walk over there and reach around behind, and there it was. Praise God. Amen. Somebody says, I wish it worked for me. It don't work by wishing. It works by you following after the Spirit of God and believing the Holy Ghost is your helper and that He will give you whatever you need to get done, what you need to get done. Amen. See, folks, we try to take these gifts and make them something that's going to be supernatural, spectacular in a church service when they ought to be things that the Spirit of God's doing in our everyday life. This is Christianity. Are you hearing me? This is covenant children of God walking in their redemptive privileges with the Helper manifesting in their lives, showing them how to walk in victory and be overcomers in this life. Praise God. Amen. See, I've used the utterance gifts more in my own personal life than I have out in public, praise God. Amen. I was praying this afternoon, spent a goodly time praying in tongues, praise God. And then I got to praying over in English, and then the Holy Ghost began to show me some things, hallelujah. And I began to interpret back to myself what I'd been praying, and I just began to say, ooh, glory to God. I went to Bonnie when we was coming. I said, I'll have to talk to you after service. There's some things we need to pray out because God just showed me some stuff, hallelujah. Amen. I know you're sitting there saying, what did he show you? None of your business. Amen. It was for me. Praise God. It wasn't for you. If he wants something for you, we'll give it to you here in a little bit. Praise the Lord. But you say, what are we talking about? I'm talking about knowing and understanding that these things of the Spirit are available to Christians today to help us to live victorious and overcomers in this life. But you have to adjust your mindset. You have to expect these things and desire these things and want these things to operate in your life. And as a church, look what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:1. Look over here in the 14th chapter and verse 1. Listen to what Paul says. And now he's saying this to the entire church, not to just an individual. This should be the attitude of the body of Christ. And listen to what he says. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Notice he says, desire spiritual gifts. Desire. He's telling the whole church, covet earnestly spiritual gifts. The Amplified reads along like, you know, make love your aim and great quest. Pursue with all your heart and make it your aim and great quest. And he says, earnestly desire and cultivate spiritual gifts and the endowments, the gifts. In other words, I ought to be cultivating and desiring and coveting and crying out. We as a church should be crying out and praying for God to manifest and show himself mighty and the Holy Spirit to bring forth his giftings and operate in our assembly and operate in our lives. The reason the Spirit of God is not manifesting like he once was is because the church isn't craving and hungering and coveting and desiring it like we once did. Amen. See, the Spirit of God moves where he's sought after, where he's hungered for, where he's received, praise God. And we as the church have to stir that back up. If you want to start seeing more miracles take place, you have to desire more miracles. I want to tell you something, church. This is the thing. It's not a different Holy Ghost or a different God. Just a different time. You know, if we would desire the things of God like people before us desire the things of God, we would get the same results they got. Because he hasn't changed. You know, if we would begin to crave, hunger, and covet, and desire earnestly, and begin to cultivate and develop a spiritual atmosphere for the Spirit of God to operate in, and came in here and expecting God to give us these things, you know, God would begin to give us these things? Because he's no respecter of persons. He tells us we're to desire these. We're to pursue these things. We're to hunger after these things. Every born-again child of God should first of all say, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost to come on me because, Lord, I don't want to be a weak Christian. I don't want to be a barely getting along, staggering, stumbling, help me Jesus Christian. I want to be powerful. I want to be mighty. I want my faith to be strong. I want the greater one living in me in all of his fullness. I want all of God I can get in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord, if praying in tongues is good for me, I want that too. Praise God. And then once I get filled with the Holy Ghost and I receive my prayer language, Lord, I covet earnestly, desire with all of my heart for the Holy Ghost to manifest in and with and through me any way he wants to. Amen. And Lord, I'm going to learn what these gifts are so that when the Holy Spirit wants to do it, I'm not fearful of being the wrong thing, but I know how to cooperate with him and flow with him so he can work in my life. Amen? Hallelujah. Why is that so important, what I just said? Bonnie, when she was pregnant with Joshua, we decided she's going to go through, what was it called, a Miles method or whatever. In other words, you know, she's going to have the baby natural. And so, we go through these classes, but you didn't take that class until, you know, she was up in some months, you know, about what, 5 months, 6 months and that, and about seven. And so, you know, we didn't have insurance in those days. We had our kids, both kids, without any kind of insurance whatsoever. We just believed God, okay? So these people don't come whining and crying to me. Amen. Amen. We believe God and pray, and God took care of us. Praise the Lord. But, you know, but Bonnie, you know, we're going to have Joshua natural. And so, you know, we hadn't taken any classes. We didn't know where any books to go. And we haven't had any kids, so we don't know anything about it, you know. And so things started happening to her. And she'd come to me with alarm. Oh, pray with me. I said, why? Because this happened today. And I go, Jesus, I bind these things in Jesus' name, Lord. I thank you for your healing of my life. And then, you know, a week later, she comes and says, oh, this happened today. Pray with me over this. And so I pray, Lord, I just believe you that she's okay and nothing's wrong. And so finally we go in to take the first class, and we found out all those things are supposed to be happening. And I said, thank you, Lord, for not answering my prayers. Hallelujah. But in our ignorance of knowing what was supposed to happen, we were actually fighting against what should be going on. And by the church being ignorant of the things of the Spirit of God, many times we're fighting what God wants to do instead of cooperating with what he wants to do. Because we're not sure, is this God or not God? But when I learn how to submit to God and yield to God and flow with God and I know what he's doing, then I can flow with him without hesitancy or without fear. And the Lord can begin to work in my life. Amen? Now, notice here something else that he said in 1 Corinthians 14:1. He said, pursue love. Pursue love. In other words, love is the foundation of making these things operate the way they should. Love is the character of God. Look back over there in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 and 2. Listen to what Paul says here. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become nothing but a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. Notice he's talking about the manifestations, prophecy and tongues and faith and he, you know. And notice what he says. He says, if I don't have love operating, it doesn't matter if I do have manifestations because it won't be received. See, love is the character of God. And if we want people to respond to the move of the Spirit, they have to know we love them. And the reason I desire these gifts is not to bring attention to myself, but is to help people in their situations and to glorify God in my life. The whole motivation for desiring spiritual gifts is love. And I walk in that love, and I make that love my character. So that whenever God gives me something, I'm doing it not to be seen, but I'm doing it to help. I'm doing it because I care. I'm doing it because I want to see you set free. I want to see Jesus glorified. And so love becomes the foundation for God to operate his gifts in the church. because he knows where there's love, those gifts will be used right to glorify Jesus and help people that need to be helped. And we can do it just like the Lord. You know, the Lord had the gifts of healings in operation when he met the fellow there by the pool. And he looked at him, he said, where the angel stirred the water and there was a bunch of people around. And the Lord said, you want to be healed? Guy said, well, sure I do, but I can't get in the water fast enough. Every time I try to get in there, somebody beats me in. You know what the Lord did? He just looked at him and said, pick up your bed and go on home. Gifts of healings operated. Boom. That man got healed. Picked up his bed and took off. And the Lord turned around and walked out of there and people didn't even know who did it. Because he wasn't trying to bring attention to himself. He wasn't using that gift to build his ministry. He had compassion on that man and just wanted to see him set free. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul's writing to us said, listen, God wants to manifest. God wants to use you. God wants to bless people through you. But he can't do it if you're going to use it for your own benefit. You're going to use it for your own glory. You're going to use it to build your own ministry. But if you'll walk in love, then when you speak out a prophetic word, people will receive it. If you're walking in love and you use your faith to help somebody, they'll get blessed. If you're walking in love and you pray for the sick, they'll get healed. Because the anointing of God flows in that type of situation. Amen? So what are we going to do today? We're going to begin to earnestly desire these manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to pursue love so that God's love will be the motivation of why we want to see him manifest in our lives. Our love for him, our love for each other, and love for those that are hurting, that they can be healed and set free and ministered to and life can come to them. Amen? And when we begin to do that, and we begin to learn what these gifts and manifestations are and learn how to operate with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you what, the supernatural will become a natural thing in our lives. Amen? It ought to be a regular occurrence that the Holy Ghost moves and people receive miracles in their lives when the body of Christ comes together. Amen. Amen? Because God is a good God and he wants to manifest these things to us.